It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're continuing with our special year-end show 2015, looking back, looking ahead, looking at significant events that have shaped our lives in the past year. We've looked at local events in Pittsburgh, what's transpired at the state and regional level, and now we kind of look with a broader range at national and international events, how they've impacted our lives here in Pittsburgh, with a guy who writes about them each and every week, in fact, twice a week. So we're looking at about 100 columns a year that this man puts out for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, none other than my friend and colleague, Tony Norman. Tony, hi. Welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here in your beautiful new studio here, Paul. This is quite a treat. Thank you.
This was a highlight of our 2015, was having our new stadium here, our new stadium, new studio. I'm so sports-minded. Our new studio in the Fishbowl. And the year of 2016 that we're about to go into is going to be a very big year in terms of
Absolutely. Politics.
We have at least one U.S. Senate race, other state and local races, and of course, the presidential race, and there
right.
will be a Pennsylvania primary here in April.
Which will actually be significant for the first time.
It will, I guess, because,
oh, absolutely.
Because
for both parties.
You're saying that it won't be decided before April then.
Well, maybe it will, but you know, Pennsylvania has an opportunity to actually matter now because it's going to be close. I think with the Democrats, it's going to be down to the wire. And with the Republicans, I think that Pennsylvania will solidify whoever the front runner is. If they do well in Pennsylvania, they pretty much have the nomination sewed up if they haven't sewn it up, you know, a couple weeks before in March. So,
you've talked a lot about the Republican presidential candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And there has obviously been a lot of discussion this year, which in many ways, from a political standpoint, has been the year of Trump. Love him or hate him, Donald Trump has done a lot to drive the conversation about
sure.
issues in America, and you've written about him. What is your take on Donald Trump and how he's impacted 2015?
In all seriousness, and I know this sounds like hyperbole, I think he is probably the most dangerous man in American politics right now. I think that you're familiar with the movie A Face in the Crowd.
Yes, the old Andy Griffith, Patricia Neal movie from the 50s.
In fact, I think it was you who encouraged me to watch that film, and I did. And I see it as a cautionary film that sort of prefigures a demagogue like Trump. I think that Trump really appeals to the basis, darkest imagination, you know, of the public. I think that he is someone who is not afraid to scapegoat. He's not afraid to demagogue, and I think that we are at a very dangerous place in our politics, that someone like this can actually be in a position to be the spokesman, not just the spokesman, but basically the face of a major political party, and possibly win if enough people are indifferent enough not to turn out.
There have been columns written on the op-ed page of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette saying Ted Cruz would actually be worse than Donald Trump.
You know, it may be six of one and half a dozen of the other. I'm more afraid of Trump because he's more undisciplined. I think Ted Cruz tends to be more cynical, more calculating, and actually probably smarter about how to wield power, but he is so universally loathed and disliked that I think that he would actually be checkmated. No one would go along with his program. Trump is actually a persuasive demagogue, and I think that's the difference.
So in all likelihood, whoever does win the Republican nomination will go up against. Well, I guess before we get to that, do you think we'll have a brokered Republican convention in Cleveland this year?
I don't think so. I think that that's too dangerous. And I think it's not in anyone's interest to have a brokered convention. I know there was talk about that a couple weeks ago, but I think it's been effectively shot down. If it happened, I guess I wouldn't be too surprised, but I don't think that the establishment, Republicans, or even Trump want that because it's too unpredictable.
Okay, so whoever does win the Republican nomination will, in all likelihood, end up, from the way things look right now, it would be Hillary Clinton winning the Democratic nomination. Although Bernie Sanders looks like he has a heck of a chance.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think, yes. If you were to ask me, you know, to take a lie detector right now, yes, I think that Hillary is going to win. But I think that Bernie Sanders of Vermont, you know, has a very, very good chance. He's raised more money than I mean, he's raised a heck of a lot of money that will make him a player long into the primary season.
Moving on to other big events that have impacted us in Pittsburgh from a cultural standpoint, from you know, we talked about this last year at this time. We're talking about it now. We'll probably be talking about it a year from now, and that is police community relations
exactly.
and race relations in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen another Ferguson-like event this year in Baltimore with Freddie Gray.
Right.
There's also been the story out of Chicago and other places, quite mm-hmm. frankly, more than we have time to talk about. But mm-hmm. what happened this past spring, what did that do? How did that impact our conversation about race in America and in Pittsburgh, where we have those same issues? Not as they haven't played out as dramatically as places like Baltimore, but there are people who feel we could see the same sort of thing happening here.
I think it sensitized the conversation about race and police minority relations. I think that whereas before there was always a reluctance to give any credence to stories that you know, police were disproportionately unfair or were inappropriate in their actions against minorities, and then people start seeing film, and then they start seeing evidence that, yeah, there's a different kind of relationship there. And you have a new generation of police chiefs coming in saying, look, we want to work with the community and actually have dialogue, and we can police better if the community doesn't feel that it's under siege. And that mentality is actually starting to come to the fore. I mean, you see it here in Pittsburgh. You see it in many other cities. You know, a progressive wave of police chiefs coming in and saying, okay, the status quo is no longer appropriate. The community hates us. We have to do something. We cannot just be an occupying army. And that's been a good thing. So that's the good that has come out of all of this angst and all of this violence. And I think police themselves are starting to realize that they need the community on their side, and that they can no longer just go in like jackbooted thugs, as it were. And that, you know, the people will work with them if they show some respect and some consideration. So I think that we're going to see more of that in the coming year. We're going to see more examples of violence, but I think that you're going to see more and more examples of progressive policing, too.
Another major event of 2015, one that you have looked at, that you've written about, is the fight for gay rights mm-hmm. in the United States, particularly when it comes to gay marriage. And we saw a monumental Supreme Court decision this year that gave the right to marry to members of the LGBTQ mm-hmm. community. And you have looked at this and championed this cause as a columnist. You've compared it to the struggle for civil rights in the 60s and voting rights.
Right.
So where does that rate on your scale of top events of 2015?
I think that it's one of the defining civil rights events. I think, you know, we had to stop thinking of, you know, civil rights in one box, you know, for blacks, and civil rights for gays and lesbians, and, you know, in another box. They're all in one box, and I think the expansion of rights, you know, of sort of civic norms for everyone was really the big story of 2015. And I think that Middle America has become very comfortable with the idea that, you know, this besieged sexual minority, you know, actually deserves to have the same rights as everyone else. And so I think it probably was the, quote, civil rights advancement of 2015.
What about the issue of, in Pennsylvania, and it exists in other states, in spite of what the Supreme Court has said about gay marriage, two gay people or a gay person who works at a place who puts pictures of their same-sex spouse, say, on or same-sex partner on their desk can be fired.
Like in Kutztown and some places out east, yes. In fact, it's not.
How do you see Pennsylvania dealing with? There is no law that protects gays when it comes to you can be fired from your job or terminated. You can be denied housing.
Right. I think the law is sort of scattershot across the state. In Pittsburgh and in Philly, that's a lot less likely to happen. But in the suburbs of Philly, there are actually places where that can happen, where the law, for some reason, is just not uniform. And I think that's a function of the fact that we have a dysfunctional legislature that, you know, we just can't get things done. You just, you know, there are moralists who sit in the Pennsylvania legislature who are still quite uncomfortable with the idea of rights for gays and lesbians and trans. And so this is where we are. This is where we are. And I think that gradually that will change, you know, and I think that with gay rights, you've seen like a gradual enfranchisement, you know, and I think that it will continue. You know, it might take a little longer than it should, but it will happen.
Tony Norman, joining us here on our year-end edition of Essential Pittsburgh 2015, looking back, looking ahead. And Tony, I want to thank you for not only being on the program today, but for your appearances during the course of the year and for your friendship as a colleague.
It's been fun, Paul. It's always fun to be here with you and hanging out.
Likewise. Well, a very happy new year and prosperous 2016 to you, sir.
You too.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh today and all year long. We will have holiday programming for the next couple of days and be back with you on Monday, January 4th. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer saying Happy New Year, everyone, and so long for now.